Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. If you would, let's stand together. We'll begin reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, down through verse 14. And so it was. Now, it's very important that we believe what the Word of God has to say. That it was not a fable, that it wasn't like a Christmas carol or A Wonderful Life or any of the other Christmas programs that are on television this time of year. This is history. This truly happened. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I like that part, to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the true meaning of the season. And Lord, though there is much excitement over many things, may we never forget what it's really all about. And that God himself was willing to come and dwell among men and to be our Savior. Lord, thank you for that unspeakable gift that each of us can have if we're only willing to accept thee as Savior. Lord, we ask that you would bless this message for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. During the Christmas season, we fondly remember our Savior's birth. Though, like most of you, I do not believe he was born in December. But the date, of course, is not of importance. It's the fact that he was willing to come. Nativity scenes and Christmas programs abound. We enjoy the innocent impressions of the Christmas story through Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, the shepherds, the angels, the wise men. But in reality, the biblical account of Christ's birth was set in a world void of peace and goodwill toward men. God's gift to us is found in verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it is provided through Jesus' vicarious death on the cross. Vicarious, someone doing something for you. Why is it then that in a season full of potential for peace and joy, we have so much depression? Jealousy, anger, hostility, loneliness, drunkenness, suicide. When we think of Christmas, we often think of family, yet how many struggle with their families? I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Why is there that desire to be with family? We read the letters from the missionaries and how that at Thanksgiving and at Christmas, they gather as much as they can with fellow Americans. Shall we say a reminder of home? Family. In the year 2000, a number of us went to Honduras to work on a church there and put on a new roof. And I was driving through the town in the little blue Toyota Jeep that they had and driving back to camp with a number of people in the blue Toyota. And I heard two young women talking in English. And I drove up beside them and said, "I'm from Michigan, where are you from?" And they turned around to face me with huge smiles on their faces. See, it was a sound from home. Later in the same city, a couple days later, I was in the hardware store with Brother Jim, the missionary, and in walked a number of Americans that were part of a medical team. And there was a common bond between us immediately. They were invited to come out to the camp, and they would do so, and they would give suggestions concerning a young Honduran boy who was in need of some medical assistance, and they gave some advice. But the fact that we could speak in English in this country that, of course, speaks Spanish. Later, we were up at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception, and we were there, and we heard English, English. Now, what's English, English? Well, these people were from London. And yet, they were from another country, yet we had something in common. Our language. We speak the same language in here today. When I say to you, Merry Christmas, you know what I'm talking about. You know we're talking about the birth of Christ. Donna has some friends out in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Jim and Sally Carroll, he is the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church there in Colorado right there at the home of the Air Force Academy and the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and it's a beautiful place. And a number of years ago, Donna's aunt Phyllis lived there, and she had some problems with cancer, and she would call Donna on the phone, and she said, "I need to talk to someone about my eternal soul. I need to get saved." And so Donna looked up some information and found the Lighthouse Baptist Church and Jim and Sally Carroll, and called them and asked them to go visit her aunt, and they did. In fact, they went and made many visits, and Donna's aunt came to know the Lord as her personal Savior before she passed away. And Donna has become very close to Sally Carroll. In fact, she's gone out there a number of times to visit. And thankfully, she's come back each time. But Sally has a brother in the country of Peru who is a missionary. And Sally's last name before she got married was Disney. Yes, she is related to the Disney family who owns Disneyland and Disney World, etc. But there is no family discount when they go there. Sometimes family is family and sometimes it's not. In a little bit, I'll give you a theory as to why Jesus was not born in a house or a home. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But following the fall of man, and before Adam and Eve were ushered out of the Garden of Eden and from the presence of the Tree of Life, God promised a coming Redeemer. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." Jesus is talking to the serpent, and he's cursing the serpent. And we know that Satan has come into this serpent, and he is cursing not only the serpent, but Satan. And he talks about, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Christ's heel was bruised on the cross, but Satan's head will be bruised, and he will be cast into hell forever. Jewish women through history have prayed that they would be privileged to give birth to the Messiah. And some are still praying for that, for they do not believe Messiah has come. We believe that he has, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah foretold that God would use a virgin to bring forth a son, which would be called Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. And for 700 years, the Jewish people waited for this answer. By this time, the majority of Jews, though, had lost hope, for they were under the domination of Rome, who with an iron fist sought to suppress any would-be king. Different factions such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the Zealots and others divided the Jewish people at that time. And not only that, the line in which Jesus was going to come through, the line of Judah, was all but dried up, which was a fulfillment of prophecy. For the suffering Savior that was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, was to be as a root out of a dry ground. We find in Isaiah 11, verse 1, that the branch that would come out of Jesse would come out of his roots. See, Satan knew through whom Jesus would come, and he was doing all that he could to stop the birth of Christ. We find that the physical and spiritual condition of Israel at that time was one without hope. It had been nearly 400 years since Malachi had spoken. They're known as the 400 silent years. Yet Paul wrote one of the greatest Christmas verses that we have in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Jesus Christ did not come so that we could have Christmas trees and decorate them with Christmas lights. And it's not that I'm against Christmas trees. I happen to have a couple in my house. I like the beauty of things. Brother Wutke was talking about putting up his tree and the memories that come with it, Brother Wutke. We have in our front room a tree that has nothing but blown glass ornaments. And we've collected them from Alaska and Washington State and Oregon and Georgia and West Virginia and Tennessee and all over the United States, and they bring back memories. But may I say this, we don't worship a tree. We just remember that we have a Savior who was willing to come on our behalf. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, and with it he brought hope. May I say this, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are putting your hope in what you can get at Best Buy, you will soon lose hope. If you are getting your hope from what you can get at Kohl's, and the other day I was at Kohl's, and man, that's rough. I should receive an extra cookie for that. But if your hope comes from Kohl's, your hope will soon be gone. Our hope comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew and Luke's Gospels record that birth. Though most, when he was born, never even realized it. God would send an angel to some shepherds to tell the wondrous story of the birth of the Redeemer. And we find here what we've read in the book of Luke tells us that. This angel was joined, as we know, by a heavenly host proclaiming the glorious message of glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to God first and peace on earth second. Don't get it mixed up. I've often wondered, did the Lord ask for volunteers of the angels and say, who wants to go down and praise my holy name? And I think if he asked for volunteers, they answered quickly, I'll go. I'll go. I want to go and proclaim it. The news was so unique that the shepherds wanted to see for themselves this babe that the angel had come to talk about. Now, remember this. Jesus probably was not the only child born that night. But he was the only one lying in what? A manger. This was a sign. And they would find the babe wrapped in a manger. Yet again, we think of Christmas as family time. Got a Christmas card from a pastor friend, and he wrote in the letter that this Christmas would be different. But the message was still the same. It would be our first Christmas without my mother and my dad without his wife. But the message is still the same. Jesus came to die for men and women. Joseph and Mary were not arriving at Bethlehem without family and relatives in the city. After all had to return to their city of birth. So why were Joseph and Mary not welcomed at this time? Aaron Bratton writes, quote, "It is important to note that the Jewish society of that day would not have welcomed Mary and Joseph and would have viewed her baby as illegitimate. Thus it helps us to understand why Mary had to put her baby in a manger. Jesus would carry this reputation with him throughout his life and during his ministry. The Pharisees accused him in John 8, that saying, we were not born of fornication. Jesus was despised and rejected of men from the time of his birth until his death." Unquote. We know that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she was with child. Think about what she endured, not only during those 9 months of pregnancy, but through the years, and maybe even with her other children who had Joseph as their father, how they may have looked down upon Jesus. As the Jewish people looked for the Redeemer of Israel, they searched for hope in many places, just as Americans do today. They seek hope. Many believe the problem of our country today has to do with the economy. The problems in our country has nothing to do with our economy. The problems we have in our country has to do with morality. And that we are spiritually hungry, and we are not looking in the right places. The other day, I saw what I thought was one of the most despicable Christmas commercials I've ever seen. And because of it, I will not shop at Kmart this season. And I'm not sure when I will shop at Kmart again. Their commercial was despicable. Have you seen it? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. And I thought to myself, how could you do that to Christmas? Mr. Kresge would roll over in his grave. And I think to myself, we as Americans would rather be entertained today than to follow the advice of our Bible, to seek peace through our Lord. Unfortunately, the people of Jesus' day did not realize that when they looked upon Jesus, they were looking to the face of hope. See, Jesus, the Messiah, came to this world to deliver us from the bonds and bondage of sin through his death on the cross. Instead, like today, they suppressed the hope by despising the solution that God provided. Do you believe that God has provided a way of salvation? Amen. Jesus is not a way to heaven. He is the way to heaven. And yet so many today look for peace in other places. Tragically, many people today hide their faces from the answer to sin's problem. Number one, they want to deny that they have a problem, and then number two, they don't want to accept the solution. And the day will come when their hope will be gone. How many walk past the babe in the manger who is mankind's source of happiness and hope and peace, and to try to find their peace with credit cards or in the ATM machines, or try to substitute with giving of gift cards? May I say this, true peace comes through our Lord. My friends, you that are here today, have you come to Jesus? Have you accepted him as your hope? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Shall we stand together? Charles Wesley wrote, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel, strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Come, desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." Joy comes from knowing Christ. I hope you know him as your Savior. And if you have never accepted him, we'll give you an opportunity this morning to do so. And during our song of invitation, as we'll sing 218, "Have You Any Room for Jesus?" you can come. And we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what you must do to know Christ as your Savior. And if you do know Christ as your Savior, and if you have, by accident or just out of neglect, forgotten him, may I say this, he hasn't forgotten you. Maybe you need to get some things right this morning. The altar is here. You can come and pray by yourself, or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you. But may I say this, the most important thing you could do today is to make sure your relationship with Jesus Christ is right. That you are on the right ground, standing fast with him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to have the songs, the reading of your word, the message. Lord, may it touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.